Hello everyone, welcome to Educators. Today we are going to talk about the very simple and the most attractive topic ever, and that is chemical thermodynamics. Now, many people just simply run away by listening to this topic because it's so hot, it's thermodynamics, and people are damn afraid about this subject because of the extreme hype created about it and also because of its complexity. So that are the two reasons which make this way complex. And don't worry, we are going to make it way easier for you from this moment itself. So stick with us for the next 1 or 2 hours, which will be divided into some subparts, of course, and you will understand what it takes to become a thermodynamic expert. So here we start with thermodynamics. Let's start with the introduction first. See, we know that transformation of liquid water into vapor, or solid ice into liquid water, or the burning of carbon forming carbon dioxide, that is CO2, are all accompanied by a change in energy. So in dry cell, the chemical energy is converted into electrical energy. On the other hand, in electroplating of metals, electrical energy is converted into chemical energy. So this is only about the changes in energy. Thermodynamics is about the transfer of energy from one matter to another. We don't care about anything else, we only care about the changes in the energy. So in this entire chapter of chemical thermodynamics, we will see a lot of stuff. First, we will have to understand some terms which are used commonly in thermodynamics. Then we will give a look to the types of systems. After that, we will move to the properties of the systems, the processes, the state functions, then the types of these processes. Then there is some expression for nature of heat and nature of work. Then we move to expression of pressure and volume, expression of volume on work, a lot of stuff. Then there is a concept of maximum work as well. This chapter is pretty big. I mean, it's not too big, but it's one of the biggest chapter. So it will surely consume a lot of our time. So let's start with the introduction. Thermodynamics is concerned with the energy changes in physical and chemical transformations. Thermodynamics, however, gives no information on the rates of physical or chemical processes or underlying mechanisms involved in these. So, thermodynamics doesn't care about the rates of these reactions. It only cares about the energy involved in these transformations. So, let's start. First, as said, we will have to study some terms which are used in thermodynamics. So, the first term is system and surrounding. Now, you all must be knowing what is a system and what is its surrounding. So, let's consider a gas which is enclosed in a cylinder equipped with a movable piston. If you don't know what is a piston, you may Google search it. Piston is actually the most important functional part which runs your car because of the blasts which happen in the engine. So, suppose we undertake the study of change in the volume of a gas and the amount of energy released or gained by a gas when the pressure is varied by putting certain mass on the piston. In this case, a gas under study is called the system. So, gas under system which is under pressure and is being studied is called the system. So, a part of the universe under thermodynamic investigation is called the system. All other parts of the universe outside the system, such as the cylinder, the room and others, are surroundings. So they have now clearly simplified. I mean, the part inside the metallic conductor, the gas inside the piston, is our system, while the part which is around it, maybe it is anything, but maybe you are a part of the surrounding of the system. So now you have got a clear definition between what is a system and what is its surrounding. So now, after distinguishing the system and the surrounding, we don't much care about the surrounding, we care about the system. So let's see what are the types of system. The first type of system is an open system. In an open system, the open cup containing hot coffee is placed in a room. You will observe that coffee cools down and it releases heat to the surroundings. So the water vapor from the coffee simultaneously passes into the surroundings, and such a system which exchanges both energy and matter with the surroundings is called an open system. So there is a continuous give and take of energy. energy is getting transferred from the cup of hot coffee to its surrounding. So such a system where there is a transfer of energy from the system to the surrounding is an open system. On the other hand, next is a closed system. In a closed system, a cup containing hot coffee is covered with a saucer. So now the coffee cools, the water vapor gets condensed into water, but it again falls into the hot cup. So the transfer of water vapor is not happening, but the transfer of heat is happening for sure to the surroundings. The cup's outer coating is getting heated, and because of the outer coating being heated, the atmospheric air around the cup will also get heated. So a closed system has a limitation that energy could be transferred in it, but there could be no transfer of matter, and that is water in our case. So such a system that exchanges energy and not the matter with the surroundings is called a closed system. Now the third system is an isolated system. An isolated system is the one in which a cup containing half coffee is covered with a saucer, and this complete system is insulated from the surrounding. The coffee does not cool down. Moreover, there is no escape of water vapor into the surrounding. Such a system that does not allow exchange of either energy or matter with the surroundings is an isolated system. But I doubt if there could be any really completely isolated system possible. It's not possible anywhere in the universe actually. So, let's move to the properties of systems. See, these systems are different, so their properties must be expected to be different. The first system is extensive property of system. A property which depends on the amount of matter present in a system is called its extensive property. For example, mass, volume, internal energy, heat capacity, the number of moles, all of these are dependent on the amount of matter. If the amount of matter changes, the mass will change, or maybe the volume will change. So these are extensive properties. Then there are intensive properties. A property which is independent of the amount of matter in a system is called an intensive property. For example, pressure, temperature, surface tension, viscosity, melting point, boiling point, specific heat. All of these are intensive properties. The reason is because these are independent of the amount of matter. Whatever be the mass of the substance, that does not relate to the pressure, nor will it relate to the temperature. Okay? For example, if I have 20 kg mass and on the other side if I have 10 kg mass, then it's not at all necessary that the 20 kg mass should have a heat or temperature different from the 10 kg mass. That's not at all any type of restriction on it. So that's the difference about intensive property. Now let's move to the state functions. There are some state functions as well. The state functions are a big topic to cover, and I think I will give you a break now. So what you can do is, you can just stop it over here, and I will add the second episode just after this session. So keep watching and all the best.